Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Good evening, everybody. It's Good Friday. It's a little bit heavy. If it's all right with you, I'd like to start with a confession. It's not of sin as much as embarrassment. I don't like blood. And I don't mean I don't like it. I mean, it is the life of our body, right? And when you see it, it's typically bad. My wife would say this is maybe a piece of male privilege that I don't have to interact with blood too much. But I don't like it. And I discovered this particularly in my son's birth. There my wife is giving birth. In this hour of pain and travail and strength and touch of danger, and I discover I don't like blood because when I see it, I pass out. So there's her pathetic husband passed out in her lap while she gives birth to our first son. And I'm a little bit aware as we go into round three, you know, it was great. Each new nurse would come in and say, you know, here's the heart rate, here's the blood pressure, here's where the baby's at, here's where the thing is. And by the way, daddy's a faint risk. Thank you. I'm just some baggage along for the ride. As we go into round three, my wife is pregnant with our third baby and is due any day now. We're looking forward to round three. Our third baby, this is exciting. I'm very aware that for any of us to be alive, for any of us to be here at all, a woman somewhere nearly died. For every one of us to be alive, a woman somewhere went through a traumatic, painful, powerful, beautiful, incredible process that brought each of us into the world. And we call that woman mom. And we celebrate our moms because they're amazing. They're amazing. Every mom is extraordinary because you created life. And that's really amazing. But that's kind of half the battle, right? Because then there's this other thing that's waiting for us at the other side, the tombs and the graves. Just like every woman had to have a brush with death, we have a king that didn't just give us eternal life. And his name's Jesus, and that's who we're celebrating here tonight, celebrating by the memory of the cross and the grave and the blood. That endurance, that passing through death has brought us into life. And I want to talk a little bit about why. I want to break it down for us as to why. So as we look at Jesus tonight, I want to talk about the problem. What problem was Jesus solving on the cross? God's solution. And then finally, the results. What did that traumatic, painful, blood-filled moment endure? The problem corresponds with a lot of natural laws. Every day we go about our lives interacting with the natural laws. If you want to deny the law of gravity, that's okay, but it will get you. You can overcome it momentarily through when we purchase air flights and fly around the nation, but you can't beat it. The law will eventually get you. And just like there are natural laws that govern the earth, there's also spiritual and emotional laws. We live under those laws whether we like them or not. And Jesus came to break us free from some of the effects of these laws that they've had on our life. You can live as a jerk if you would like, just like we can try to ignore gravity, but eventually it's going to get you. Eventually, it's going to catch up with you. And you can see people that have lived in this jerky sort of way. They're somber. They're not happy people. I was earlier today handing out flyers, and somebody tried to get me. They tried to bring me down with them. They were not a happy person. I was like, hey, happy Easter. Come and visit us. You know, we're doing this big event tomorrow. And they threw out insults at me. That's on them. They're allowed to do that, I guess. I think they're hurt more than I am from that event, right? That has more effect on their soul than it's going to have on mine. That's on them. They're living under the emotional law. And you can see they weren't happy. Junk like that doesn't come out of a happy soul, even if you don't like somebody. So we live under these laws that God wanted to set us free from. So there is this reality of sin. It's just about as real as garbage. And when you move into New York City, you become very aware of garbage, right? Who's not cleaning up their garbage? Who is? Why is all this garbage on the street? Why is all this garbage smell in the air as we enter back into summer? What's with all this garbage? Now, personally, my garbage, I put it down the chute and it disappears forever. Or so I like to convince myself, right? As soon as you have done your duty, for me and you, it's like it's over and done with. But never mind that we built an island called Staten Island out of our garbage. Sorry. Oh, somebody from the Bronx really liked that. And then we cleaned it up and we gave Staten Island back to Staten Island, right? But garbage goes somewhere. Garbage has to go somewhere, and our emotional garbage has to go somewhere. That's why we pay counselors tons of money to listen to our garbage. This past year, 2020, I was the year I got a counselor. And that counselor got more money from me and did more work in my soul than just about anybody else in my life. Right? It was like, I'm given to God, and I'm given to my counselor, and I'm given to the rent man. Right? And she was like number three or number four in my bills. But man, did she deserve it, because she got a lot of the garbage in my soul out of me. It's important. Our garbage, our emotional garbage, has to go somewhere. It has to go somewhere. And the Bible's word for emotional garbage is sin. It's when we break God's moral laws. And that sin accumulates somewhere. It's got to go somewhere. So we are living under a law of sin in our lives. And it's just as real as the natural laws that we interact with every day in nature. But there's also another natural law that corresponds to a biblical law, and that is the law of substitution. In order for you to be alive, something had to die. Not your mom, I'm not talking about your mom. I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about celery, cows, chickens, spinach. Something had to die to keep you alive. More than likely, something died on your account today, whether it's a plant or an animal, right? To keep us sustained, something out there has to die. Wow. Another thing, to keep us clean, something has to get dirty. If you want to wipe your face, you know, you're eating some good chili fries or something, something's going to get dirty, and hopefully it's not you or your pants or your shirt. But that napkin, you got to love the boost with all the napkins you can grab, right? Because by the end of a good meal, that better be filled. Some fried chicken or some chicken wings, you're going to fill up some good napkins on that meal. To keep you clean, something's got to get dirty. Whether it's New York City water or the napkins at the diner, something's got to give. So there are these natural laws of substitution, of give and take. The other day I was watching some construction workers work on a project outside of my apartment, and this guy was throwing these pieces of lumber around, throwing them around. And I was like, man, that's gonna hurt the lumber after some time, right? It was some lumber they were gonna reuse. And I thought, well, it's either the lumber's gonna hurt or that man's gonna hurt if he lays that lumber down really gently like. So I was like, yeah, throw that lumber and keep your back, you know, in order, bro. I feel you. Like, throw it. All around us, something's got to give. There's a law of substitution working. And when Jesus went to the cross, it was an act of substitution. So there were a number of laws that brought him, laws that proceed from the heart of God that are expressed in the natural world and in the invisible emotional and sin world, spiritual world, that God was addressing in that moment. And so the solution to the problem was that God was going to send his son. Because God loves us, he was not going to leave us in our nasty, dying, decaying place. God said, I'm going to send my son into a sin-soaked world so that through him I can save it. That sin's got to go somewhere. It's piling up in the world, and I'm going to open up a portal to get that sin out of there. Just like sometimes the garbage is piling up in our city streets. It's got to go somewhere. We got to open up a barge. We got to get it out of here somehow. God wanted to open up that way for us. There's a verse that summarizes it so clearly and so beautifully in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent and he gave his only son so that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish, wouldn't die, but would have eternal life. See, Death is a symptom of our sin. Death is not the reality that we have to live in. It's a reality that we built for ourselves. All of us, I believe, at some point, well, all of us will at some point experience death, whether it's of a loved one or ourself. And man, that death hurts. As I talk to people in the street about God, as I minister to people in my Connect group, as I talk to people in our church as a pastor, often when I get to the heart of a matter, whether it's a crisis of faith or a moment that so transforms somebody into faith, death is at the root of it. I meet so many people that are atheists, and as I talk to them, it's not so much about the evidence for God and our nature, natural world or evolution. Often it's just, man, my grandmom, who was a Christian, died when I was 3. And I thought, how would a good God do that to her? She suffered with cancer. She had this and that. And she was a good person. And why would a good God allow for that? Often our faith suffers because of death. Our faith hurts because of the very thing that God came to save and change. And so tonight, if we could do anything, I'd like for us to shift our faith onto a God who loves us and cares for us and came to redeem us and change us from the inside out, came to give us hope in a future, came to give us something more than what we have right now, came to give us hope in the middle of a sin-soaked, death-filled world. God had a solution for us. God sent his son into the world to experience everything that we read about. Arnie read a prophecy that was written 800 years before Jesus died. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, we esteemed him not, yet surely he bore our sorrow and carried our grief. But we thought he was getting punished by God, but it was our sin that he carried. It was our mistakes that he was accounting for. It was our sin that put him there. Jesus came to be the substitute. Jesus came to turn things around. Jesus came not just to brush death, but to go through death so that you and me don't have to. To give us life and life to the fullest. And Jesus on that cross, on that journey to the cross, and as he was nailed there, he experienced just about every kind of mockery, every kind of pain, every kind of shame that we can go through here on earth. He was abused. He was falsely accused. I don't want to go into all of the graphic, gory details, but as we look into it, it was worse than we could ever know. Our modern minds aren't built to think this way. This was built by bored Roman soldiers who were on the road conquering and vanquishing people, and they thought, what's the worst thing that we could do to a man? And they came up with crucifixion. He suffered there and asphyxiated in public on full display with no clothes, so that you and I could be clothed, so that you and I could be brought in, so that you and I could be cared for. Jesus took every kind of sin that this world could concoct, and it was thrown at him, and he took it so that we could be set free from it. Amen. He took the sin. He took it upon himself, the shame, the rejection, the mockery, the torture, the nails through the wrists. He took it. Yes. And this was God's solution to our problem. This is God's solution to our sin. And then some incredible results happened. Even as Jesus died, I mean, we love to talk about the resurrection, and we're going to get there on Sunday morning, but let's just look at the death. What did the death accomplish? Just in his dying, there were miracles happening. 5 things happened as soon as Jesus died. The curtain was torn. The rocks were split. The earth shook. The tombs were opened, and the dead were raised. This extraordinary power happened just by God sending his son, dying. Extraordinary power was released through his death. I want to talk about the curtain tearing. The curtain was in the temple, and the curtain separated the Holy of Holies, where the Holy Spirit dwelled, and where everybody else was. The curtain was the barrier between where only the high priest could go once a year on Yom Kippur and where everybody else was. And in the moment of Jesus' death, the price for sin was paid, and the Holy Spirit said, now I get to be with people. Jesus died not just to save us from sin, but to give us and bring us the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, God Almighty living inside of us. The curtain tore from top to bottom, meaning God's coming down, not we're coming up. God's coming down to us and freeing and sending power out to each and every one of us. It's not just forgiveness of sin. Praise God for forgiveness of sin, but there's something more. There's newness of life and power when we receive Jesus. Second thing, the earth shook. He was the Word in the beginning. The very Word that spoke all of creation and all of matter into existence. When that died, the earth shook. When God Almighty died, the earth shook. That's not the only thing that happened. Thirdly, the rocks were split. Why? What is that? The rocks split. When the children of Israel were walking through the wilderness, they were crying out for water, desperate for water. What did God do? He had his leader strike a rock. Moses, the man of God, struck a rock, and that rock split in two, and water came out. What Jesus is saying is, for every longing and every thirst of your soul, I am coming to answer that longing. I'm coming to answer that thirst. You've been walking in the wilderness, and friends, I feel it here tonight. Some of us have been walking in the wilderness alone or locked or isolated in our shame for way too long. The refreshing of God wants to meet with you tonight. There's a refreshing that comes from the death of Jesus. He opened up the rocks so that we might experience a river of living water flowing out of even us. The rocks split. Then the tombs were opened. Just like I mentioned earlier, the problem that we've got is that each one of our lives, there's a tomb. There's a grave yawning and waiting for our bodies to fill it. And in this moment, Jesus said, "Not today, tomb. I'm breaking the power of the tomb." Yeah. Cutting that off. And we now know that while there is a tomb waiting for each of our bodies, there's also a resurrection on the other side of that tomb. Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Saying, you know what? Dying is easy. Dying is easy. Seeing people go is easy. Living for Jesus is harder. That's what Paul was saying when he said, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. There's an incredible hope that we have as Christians. There's an incredible hope that we have as people that see this resurrection power. And we know that the grave is not the end. And then there's this incredible verse. And as I mention it sometimes, people don't even know that it's in the Bible. It's here. It's in Matthew. The dead bodies of the saints got up and started walking around Jerusalem. The power of God was so strong that when Jesus died, life was given to the tombs. And people started getting up and getting out of the graves. And I believe that these saints were people that died in hope, saying, man, I know I can't do this on my own. God, I need help. God, send a Savior. God, send somebody to help me and redeem me from my sin. God, I'm dying, and I don't know what the answer is. And those people that died in hope of what God might do in this moment of Jesus' death got up from the grave. And had a couple-day party in Jerusalem celebrating, like, I'm back. You know, Moses comes back for a minute. The prophets came back for a minute. And everybody's like, Moses, what you doing back? He's like, well, I told you that somebody was going to come that was be like me. I told you that somebody was going to come. The prophets got up. I told you somebody was coming that was going to save us. Here we are. And this gives me hope, not just for the tomb that's waiting for us. Yes, we will rise again. But this gives me hope for the here and now, for our bodies. Because I'm so aware of our bodies breaking down and not operating right. Tonight, I want to declare Jesus Christ over every sickness, amen, over everything that might grip our natural bodies, over every cancer, over every skin disease, over every backache, over every cold and every coronavirus. Jesus is Lord. Yeah. And when he died, he came to redeem each and every one of those ailments, yeah, to turn them around. He paid the price so that we could walk free of sin. He paid the price so that we could walk free of backaches, of cancer, of kidney infections and diseases. Jesus Christ came so that we might live here and now. Bro, Felix, could you just, can we just give God glory? Can I do this, bro? Bro, this is a man that should have died. Kidney shut down. Had blood sugar of over 1,000, 1,200 or something crazy. And his wife, Evie, right here, cried out to God. Gina was on the phone. She just walked in and said, ventilator off in Jesus' name. The vent came off and this man breathed. Like, I can't even make this kind of stuff up. It's too good to be true. I mean, you can look into it if you're a skeptic. That all happened. Jesus died, yes, to free us of the grave that's waiting for each one of us. But he also gave us, died so that we could have victory in our mortal bodies right now. We're calling this week the Easter Miracle Week, or weekend. Because we know that by Jesus' stripes, we are healed. Amen. And by his death, we're raised to new life. And he's the sacrifice that we needed so desperately. So Jesus, we're calling on you right now. God, be a miracle. Do a miracle again today. God, I pray, Lord, that our bodies and our lives would be lived as testaments and glory to you. Just like Felix, just like Gina, just like each one of us have a story, God. Use us here today, Lord, we pray. Turn our lives around. Change us from sin into salvation. Change us from shame into glory. Change us from death into life and from sickness into an image of health so that the world may know there is a king. His name is Jesus, and he died for my sin, and he rose to on high. And through him, by his sacrifice and by his substitution, I'm alive today to give him glory and praise. Jesus, thank you for your death. Thank you for the power that you released in that moment. God, we give you praise tonight for everything that you've done for us. May we walk in the fullness of your sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.